Okay, so I just want to welcome everyone here, everyone on Zoom, everyone who will be watching by YouTube in the future and or listening by podcast. It's a great day. It's a great day. What can I say? We're in the now, right here, in this moment. Everything else aside, this is a great day. And I'm going to rest in that as I grab my water over here. And we're going to talk about some things about that. But in the now, it's a great day regardless. Because I'm alive. I'm drawing breath. I am confident in God, even in the midst of some things that are not always pleasant in the natural. That being said, welcome. And for those of you participating by Zoom or in the room, anything in that worship set you want to talk about? Anything inspire you? Anything challenge you? Anybody?
Just peace.
Yeah.
And the peace that grounds us. And that's what it's been.
Peace. Even in the midst of life happening, we can find a place of peace.
Even in the brokenness.
Yes, even in the brokenness. Excellent, Linda. Wow. That was just like, wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing that up, because it's just like, wow. Anybody else? Hearing.
I think even just the term, breathe in your word, was just, that's just ringing in my ears.
Breathe in his word. I'm just going to put breathe. Yeah. When you're conscious of breathing, it forces you to slow down and let those racing thoughts sometimes just calm. And it's in that calmness. You know, I mentioned before we went on this morning that given the events of the week, I had nothing to share today until I took a nap about from 7 to 8. And the Lord, as I was waking up, you know, when you come out of that deep sleep, you're coming into that consciousness. There's that moment when there's just, it's just you and God. And I heard internally in my heart, life happens. That was the message for today. And I instantly knew that was from him. How that shapes out from there, I'm not responsible for that. I'm just responsible for introducing the topic. If you want to throw darts at me later, we'll have a discussion about that. But, you know, life happens. How about online? Anybody online or anyone else in the room? Anything else you want to add to what you got out of that?
For me, it's when things in life happen, things that are unexpected and hurt really deeply, that, you know, Christ is Father, Jesus, the Spirit. They're all with us right now.
Yeah.
He's with us. And it doesn't matter how broken you are, he'll help you pick up those pieces, and life happens, and we just have to just have that wonderful feeling that he's there. His love is so intense and so beautiful.
Emmanuel.
So much.
Emmanuel, God with us. Yeah.
Right.
But thanks, Muriel.
And even in the brokenness, if we get angry, he's still there. He definitely.
I used to think if I got angry, God would be really mad at me, that he would match my level of anger. But he just goes, I'll wait till you're done.
Yeah.
You know, I'll speak to you softly to help dissipate it.
Well, letting go doesn't come natural to people, because, at least for me, I battle with control issues. And the squirrel cage in my mind is always going, and, you know, letting that go is, it's difficult. Yeah, you have to make a deliberate action to try to do that.
Yeah, it's a conscious choice.
Conscious choice.
Yeah. And even if you make the conscious choice and it only lasts for a few seconds or a few minutes, the next time it'll last longer. You'll begin to get more comfortable with it the more you do it. And that's the beauty of it, of him, his great patience with us, is he lets us do it at our own pace. That's just what's amazing to me. Anyone else online or in the room? Because if not, we're going to...
Yeah, go ahead. It made me, when you said what your message was, and I, You don't know how I appreciate seeing your notes up there on the table.
Oh my gosh.
10 words.
A renewed man. But it made me think of Paul, who said, you know, I received the 40 lashes less one three times, and I've been stoned and shipwrecked and hungry and cold and beaten and left for dead. But God. And then Graham Cook, in his message on the nature of God, nevertheless, I'll be with you.
Yes. Yes. You know, yes.
Nevertheless, doesn't matter what happens to you in this realm, he's always with you. He'll always be with you.
And this taps in, this whole concept of life happens, taps into a comment that that Mike made a few weeks ago about how do I see God as good in the midst of certain life circumstances? I mean, that whole concept applies. I'm going to come over here a minute and put life happens in the middle. And I have to tell you, Mike, I have been pondering that whole concept since you said it, and I listened to it again. And until something happens, you don't really stop to think about that. Because when you're on, everything's going good, and you're like on cruise control, and then life happens, an event. And I'm just going to put an event. And you know, and sometimes those events are good. Marriage, children, birthed, promotions. And, I mean, there's all kinds of things that we looked at that we go that are really good. Give me some others.
Friends and parties.
Friends, yeah. Yeah, would you skip parties?
Parties.
Can I come to your house after we're done? Can we party? Oh, no, I have to go home and take care of Carol. Sorry. Sorry, <huh? laughs> But then sometimes
we can... Comment from Carol, too.
What's that? Comment from chat from Carol? If I see God at fault, it's hard to see him as good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so... all these great things happen, or good things happen, and rarely do we stop and say, that's from God. But when negative things happen, we start questioning. But, you know, down here we have death, premature death. We have death of any kind. We have accidents. We have
sickness.
What's that?
Sickness.
Yeah. Financial loss. I should move myself so my best side
job
is.
Job loss.
Job loss. Yeah. Sickness. And there's many more we can add to that. Generally, these things usually force the question, why God? Why?
Can we add one more worry over children?
Here?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, not necessarily just children.
Loss of relationship.
Yeah, that's good.
Worry, loss of relationship. We worry over children, but we also oftentimes worry over finances and tenuous times. There are some prognosticators out there predicting financial doom and gloom right now. And there's a lot of people that buy into it. And a lot, you know, some of this taps into fear. Some of it is lack of understanding. But this why question is huge because it has an influence on us. And can I see the goodness of God in the good times and the bad? Here it's a question mark. Here, if we stop and think, it's usually Thanksgiving from the top here. We usually go into Thanksgiving if we're in the now and we're conscious of God in that moment. And I got to tell you, I'm going to use what happened to Carol on Friday. For those who are just hearing for the first time, my wife had a mishap on Friday where she sprained her right ankle severely and broke a bone in the left ankle in the fibula, life happened in a moment for her. And it changed at least the course of the next few weeks of her life and mine. And I was here meeting with Greg. We're talking about week 15 of the prophetic training class next Monday night. And I get this phone call. And the minute I heard her voice, I knew something was wrong. But not once have I ever heard in the last 48 hours, have I ever heard her ask God why. There's something that when you're in grace, when you begin to move in the realm of grace, you begin to realize that God, though he is sovereign, he does not control everything. He's given us control of the earth. That's what Genesis 1 said. He gave to mankind dominion over the earth. And he's in the, you know, Jesus came to do the great reset, but it's still playing out in the great reset. And there are so many people who are not participating in the reset that Jesus did. And so life is scary for them. And in the process of life being scary, like us being afraid, when something tragic happens, we don't know how to process. Linda.
I've learned and am still learning that when the negativity happens, any of those things and the why questions might form, I've learned to rest and look to his promises.
Yeah.
Because his promises are true. They're yes and amen. And those promises will, for me, helps me to overcome some of that negativity. Doesn't make it better or, you know, it just puts me in a place that I can look at that through God's eyes. That's
yeah.
What I want to do.
It being able to rest in that moment doesn't change the tragedy.
Right.
Doesn't change how hard it hits us. But it does allow us to go to a place of peace to process a little bit.
That's what I wanted to say.
You did a great job saying it. Thank you. And
so what's your expectation?
That's where I was going to go in a couple of moments, is as we've been moving through learning grace, and we've been learning about our identity, and we've been learning about what the scriptures say about the goodness of God, and we've been learning about our role in being able to step out and shape culture, then we have a place of expectation. And you talked about expectations last week, and I have not had a chance to review that because I was going to do it yesterday, and life happened.
And I expect you to anyhow.
I know. Well, I know you have great expectations, and I will get to it. So as life is happening, you know, we've been talking about vision. We've been talking about meditation. Correct me if I spell anything wrong, because I don't promise to spell anything right today. We've been talking about imagination. And we've been talking about expectation. And these are all critical parts of our life that we function in. And if an event happens down in the negative side, if my vision goes negative at that moment, if my meditation is always on the negative, if I'm imagining a worst case scenario, that becomes an expectation, and in a sense becomes what we used to call in charismatic days a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh,
yeah. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard because if we don't see God definitively as good, this keeps pulling on us. And one of the things that I meditated on this morning after hearing about life happens is that some point I have to choose to believe God is good or not. I have to make a definitive choice, even if I don't understand how that plays out. And when I make the definitive choice, God is good, then when these things happen and why comes in, I can go, I don't know. But I know he's good. And I know I'm going to get clarity later. And I'm going to rest. I'm going to look to the promises and clarity is going to come. But it has to be a choice. That's one of the things, like, I made that choice a few years ago. God is good no matter what. And I've been on, you know, I got to say, I've been on a pretty good upward journey. And then the event of Friday happens. And, you know, I had to stop and re-examine some things, because here's my wife who needs help. But I got a new message on Sunday. But we got class Monday. But I never went to why. And I don't think Carol went to why. It happened. And sometimes you just have to say, it happens. I'm never going to be able to answer why. But at the same time, I'm not going to question his goodness. But now I have a reset. Because what's the scripture say about everything that happens in our life?
Sorry.
I just got my train of thought just shifted. So you got, you know, so far, realizing that I am never going to be able to, in my limited natural self, be able to define or answer the why question in relationship to a tragic event, other than to say, I can tell you, and I have believed this for years, this is my belief. Not necessarily going to say it's scriptural, but I think it is. When God gave man dominion, he gave man dominion over sickness and disease. What did he do with the 12? He sent them out to do what? Heal the sick. What did he do with the 72? He sent them out to heal the sick. Man has forgotten that mandate and has not stepped into the fullness of that mandate. So God gets blamed for things that man doesn't do. We're supposed to heal the sick. We're supposed to, using scriptural terminology, cleanse the lepers. Now you got me going, right?
I do.
That is a prophetic message.
Am I supposed to look at it now?
It's called missed a step.
I missed a step. All right, guys.
You're talking about Carol.
Oh, shit.
You missed a step.
She missed a step. Okay. Oh.
I had to get that something.
You had to get that out, huh? Right in the middle of our discussion. I love you, Greg. I love you, Mom.
Small grenade.
So even though I am one with God, I don't pretend to understand all the mysteries at this
Carol
point.
Carol has a message.
Carol has a message. What does my wife say? Oh, she's laughing out loud. Thanks, Greg. Humor is good like a medicine. So, gosh, for those of you watching on tape delay, I'm really sorry. This is just going all over the place. So, Jesus told us life is going to happen, right? He said there are going to be things that come, usually in the form of persecution for what he believes. But life also happens in the context of other things like sickness. And as I was saying, I think the church, the generic church, has failed in its responsibility in the context of healing. I feel that. I don't think there's an expectation that we're supposed to heal in a general sense. And I don't think there's an expectation that leads us from a vision through the meditation, imagination, and expectation process. Garrett.
After Jesus said life would happen, though, he followed it up by saying, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world.
Yes.
And I think it goes to the what we've been talking about in how solidified we become in our oneness and who we are in him, that allows us to go through those times on the bottom of that chart that aren't necessarily so nice to go through, but they have that bedrock solid acknowledge of our oneness and who we really are.
Yeah.
That changes the
sort of does. It absolutely does. And I got to tell you, as you're learning about grace and walking about grace and learning about your identity and all of those things that go with it, somewhere in there is a shift. And I can't tell you when or where or exactly how, But somewhere there's a shift from expectation of negative to the expectation of positive. And if I misstate what you taught last week, feel free to correct me since I haven't heard it.
I don't remember what I taught.
Okay. All right. So I'm in safe territory then.
But there's also, Jesus says, you're like tossed in the waves. You go back and forth. We go to negative expectations to positive. And he says, you'll never get anything. But if you've got to keep the positive.
Yeah. That's the double-sided man that James talks about. That the double-minded man, I should say. Where you're back and forth and you never have any peace then. Linda?
Well, on all those negative things, I think it's important as we recognize the Christ in us and our identity. I think it's also important that we remember that not everyone knows that identity. And so therefore, we have no control over what other people might do, might cause that kind of thing to happen.
Yes.
And for me, that works very well when I can realize that they just don't know who they are yet, and they're in a different place, and it's caused some kind of sorrow or discomfort or mishap to someone else. I think that you just need to know both sides of it, who we are and who they are.
Yes. And in the midst of the moment, the early moment of grieving a negative event, that's hard to do unless we have a community that we can fall back on. That was the other thing God spoke to me this morning, is the importance of community. And before I hit that, I want to tell you, like with Carol, you know, I was talking about there's that shift as you're moving down the grace and identity and all of that, where somewhere I used to expect and fall back to the negative. And I don't, you know, and when Carol called me, I didn't panic when she said, you got to come home on Friday. I didn't panic. I didn't know exactly what was going on, other than she said she couldn't walk at that moment. I was in peace. Before, years ago, I would have been in panic mode. I've somewhere shifted to peace mode. And I got home and we assessed the moment together and decided what to do, even though she was in pain. But then we go to the hospital or to the urgent care, and I got to tell you, I never heard her once go negative. I mean, she's telling jokes. I'm going to tell the joke, Carol. You can have me cut it out later. But it was a statement of, it was really more a statement of, this is how I see it. She had to have four sets of x-rays, so she's moving back and forth. And she's got this x-ray technician guy, transporter, whatever you want to call him. And she's saying to him, well, you know, I'm gonna heal faster than snot during allergy season. You know, talk about breaking the moment. You know, it could have been a very tense moment. And of course, everybody's looking at her like, you know, who is this woman? You know, but she stayed positive. You know, even when they said, oh, you know, it could take a long time. And she's going, no, God and I have this. And she's already visioning the full healing, and she's meditating and imagining and expecting a full healing. Fast. And knowing my wife, it will be, because she's very, very in tune there. And anytime someone would say something negative, no. She just refused to entertain that. And I'm there with her, because we've been looking at some things in the last few months on how to deal with some of the stuff in the subconscious and reprogram the subconscious into a positive expectation and a positive result. So those are things that are happening for us right now. But it showed me in that moment how far I've come from back here, predisposed to negative, to move over here to a positive. So I think that's pretty awesome. And I think that's there for all of us as we move down the road. If we stop, and sometimes these things, these events down here, these negative events, they can lock us. But God, even if we're locked in that moment, God's going to come to try to move us out of that lock because he knows how to speak to us. Let me check in with those online a minute. Where are you guys at with this right now? You've been quiet, so talk. Muriel's talked already, but is this making sense to anyone? And it sounds easier than it probably is in reality.
Yeah. Okay. But that's where community comes in.
That's where community comes in.
Because when it happens to you, I'll speak for myself. When it happens to somebody around me, I need to fix it. And they don't want advice. They want an ear. Mm-hmm. And community gives an ear. But that ear is covered with peace and confidence that they can see that the person in the midst of the problem may be struggling to see. And it draws them back into who they are and who God says they are.
You know, authentic community starts with what Linda was talking about. You look at the person and you see Jesus in them no matter what. No matter how they're behaving, we look at them and go, okay, Jesus, you're in me, but you're compassionate, you're kind, you're merciful, and you're ever encouraging. So how can I come alongside in that moment? What can I do? Sometimes it's just prayer. Sometimes it's a joke. Speak a joke. Sometimes it's other things. And I'll come back to that. Muriel, were you wanting to jump in?
Oh, I was just going to say that you would not. I can't tell you how timely this is for me. I have an absolute devastating thing that's happened. And God is so good. He always brings the answers. He brings whatever to the focus. And this is just saying this is very timely for me. So. Praise the Lord.
Well, I'm happy that you're getting something out of this, and I'm sad that you're experiencing what you're experiencing. And if there's anything we can do to help, that's what community is. And I know distance can be a problem sometimes, but we can send prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, community is so interesting because sometimes you don't even know you're in community with someone until an event happens. You know, I was my sister, who has just gone through her third. She had her left knee replaced. She had the right knee replaced. Got a massive, rare infection in the right knee. They had to go in, surgically remove the knee replacement, put what's called a spacer in, and try to kill the fungus that was growing in her knee. So she's not 100%. But I let her know what happened to Carol. And before we even got home, and she lives in Lake Odessa, but she showed up with a walker, a bag full of goodies, you know, ice. There's these ice pack sleeves and gel packs that you can freeze and put in there. I mean, she showed up and just said, here. And Sharon is sitting with Carol today. Because I don't want to leave Carol alone yet, because she's still learning to figure out the maneuvers. And so community, you know, and then there were people on Facebook commenting when she posted it. Some of it was funny. I mean, there was a post by Valerie that was just hilarious. And so little things like even just acknowledging the moment, a joke, an act of kindness. All of that is part of authentic community. And we don't, and community isn't inside the four walls. It's what we do outside the four walls of the church. That's really community. I mean, there's a sense of community by being here. And I had this conversation with a gentleman on Friday, Dr. Matt Pandel, who's now the Global Grace Seminary Academic Dean. And we were on a Zoom together, and we were talking about authentic community and how megachurch stuff destroys authentic community because you just become a number in a megachurch concept. small groups like this is more likely to be able to tap into authentic community. And to me, authentic community is just caring and being willing to offer help when needed. I think we all can do that. And we don't, and it doesn't have to be someone who's in our community, so to speak. It can be anybody in our extended life that we run across. And those are things that I think God is beginning to show us, is because he's been really showing us more and more about vision, meditation, imagination, expectation. All of those things are in this season for us, because I think he's about to expand our capacity to engage in community. Thoughts, comments?
I think.
Go ahead.
It just comes to me again. Community is our need to be known, and when we realize that Jesus knows us and he knows us by name, and that's sometimes what the person needs. They need to be recognized, yes, that you are a person that I care for. And it can come across in so many different ways: a joke, you know, a meal, a card, you know, a text. It's just, I know you exist and I know you by name.
Mm-hmm. Good. Linda?
Well, I'm going to go a little different direction.
That's fine.
Because when people do things and whatever it is, you know, you can see in them what God sees in them, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I would have to accept that or participate in that or encourage that. You know, I can see what God is like in them, but I don't have to be a part of that, and I can walk away from that if that negativity,
yes,
is going to influence me or someone I love or care about. So it's not like all this happy, fluffy stuff, you know. There's a reality to it.
Yes. That's where discernment comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Discernment is to, is this someone I'm supposed to engage with right now or not? I can always pray from a distance if God prompts me to do that. But there's also people we can actually, who would receive something,
yeah,
and it would impact them. No, I agree. I think there's a level of discernment that you have to use. You never put yourself in a position to be the proverbial punching bag. And I got to tell you, I had a lot of other descriptions for Life Happens that would have described this, like buffalo chips, cow patties, you know, things. But yeah, you're right, Linda. That's a good take, because that doesn't mean we run out and engage every single person. But there are people we genuinely care about, and when they're struggling, we can at least from a distance speak into that. And if I see them changing, if I see a change here, I think my words have power. Anybody else online? Quiet day in the neighborhood. I understand. No one else online. Anyone else in the room?
Well, these candies were really good. And when you get these Dove,
yeah,
they're kind of like fortune cookies because they have something inside of them. This one says, smiles are free, so share them.
Yes.
This one says, keep life moving forward. Looking backward is only for time travelers.
Ah, looking backward is only for time travelers. Keep moving forward. I love that. There's some of those that are really clever. You know, for those who are not familiar with Dove chocolates, inside the wrappers, on the individual ones, they have little encouraging statements. So I really don't know what else, how deep to go at the moment, other than to say, this is a reality we can't deny. These things happen. And hopefully you find you're in a position when something like this happens where you can get to a place of rest, get to look at the promises, get to reflect on the goodness of God, and realizing it may not answer the why question, But it may well allow you to move forward and not look backwards after a while. And so that's part of what was in my heart this morning, was just a simple two-word phrase, life happens. I don't think we're ever going to be able to avoid life happening. Linda.
I talk a lot. I think I've shared this before, but during one of the worst times for me when my son was going through some things, you know, it was really hard to think of positive and what was going to happen. So I made a promise board and I put up his pictures of him and went through magazines and took out positive statements. And it was just a very real reinforcement of God's promises. And whenever I started to feel really negative or beaten down or whatever, I would just go to that board and I would say, yes, God, these are your promises. This is what's going to happen. And over a period of time, many months, I started to think that way and didn't have to go back to the board quite so often. But if someone struggles with that, if you put it in a visual form, it helps.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Yeah, Mike.
Today's topic is all about loss. How do we handle loss? How can we convert that into positive and goodness and, you know, proper spirituality? And what I know about loss is there's different degrees of loss. Some of them so deep that it's hard to even describe. And in order to get through that loss, it requires a grieving process, which is very, very hard work. And when you are going through a grieving process, which is a very long process, it's, at least for me and for people that I know that have gone through serious losses, it's hard to get to the place that you're suggesting. And I do think that it's possible in time, but in the short run, it's very difficult.
I agree.
Very, very, very difficult. And I don't diminish, you know, small losses or anything like that, but very serious losses require very serious work. And it's a process, and it's just difficult to describe, I would say it that way. And not to say that, you know, I believe God is good. I believe he's not responsible for the bad things that happen to people. But you still have to work your way through the process.
No question. No question about it. You do. It is a process. It's a healing process. And for each person that's experiencing it, it's a different pace.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, maybe some people think that grieving is a negative thing, but it's, if you're going to live a healthy life, you have to go through that process. And it's really, really hard work.
Okay. David grieved the loss of a child. Scriptures talk about that, you know, and yeah. That's hard, and you've experienced it. I can't relate to that at the level you are because it's not happened to me. So it is a process, no question.
Yeah. But life, you know, life is good, love is good, you know, and it's, you can get past it. It just takes a while.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I agree. Linda.
And just to follow up with that, you know, when John died, you know, it was unexpected. It was, you know, we were going to Florida and the next week he's dead. And I can remember as we were talking about community, I forced myself to come to church. And, you know, it was just constant tears. But just feeling the community around me was comforting and healing. And I remember this one time, Sharon Curlis, she just came and put her hand on, I'm going to cry, put her hand on my shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, that's community.
Yeah. Yeah. The little things that we can do to help each other in that moment, we're, you know, that's part of what my heart wants to do. And these deeper things here that especially around the death ones, the tragic things, I do know over time healing does take place. I'm not here to push a timetable on anybody. I'm just here to encourage there is a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, but that doesn't diminish the memories. It just helps you adjust and put the memories in a place of where coping is easier, I think. You know, you both have experienced death of a spouse, you know, and even just this moment, you know, Linda, you just had a moment that a memory came back and but there's a level of healing that just came with that memory, just remembering that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't want to diminish anybody's what they've gone through. That's not what this is about. This is about life happens and what are we going to do with it in that moment? Realizing that there may be long-term implications to what happens in the moment, but I've seen too many people just totally shut down and never recover. And I think it's because they become isolated in those moments. And isolation is not what we're called to. How much I choose to share with any of you about what goes on in my life, you all know I'm a pretty open book, probably more than Carol wants me to be. But that's the power of editing. I can change, I can edit some things out. But if I live a life in isolation, then I'm never going to feel the joy and the peace, because I'm always going to... Isolation is not where the Father's heart is. The Father's heart is to engage us. And then I go to isolation, eventually I will even isolate from the Father.
Well, his heart is relationship.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So the best we can do in the moment of a life event is just to keep walking and process and assess. And then if I have a moment where I just need to stop, I process, I move on in hopes that eventually, you know, my walk in grace for the last 10 years has brought me to a place I process different today than I did 10 years ago. I don't see God as the angry God waiting to strike me dead. And I don't see God as the cause of all the bad things in my life. And there's an expectation shift that took place there. And I'm just encouraging you to be open to all those things. And again, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. I'm just putting things out there so that we talked through, and hopefully Muriel got something in the moment, and hopefully others did as well. So I'm going to stop at the moment. I want to check in online. What are you guys hearing today? Anybody want to share that, you know, at this point? Nobody?
Me again.
Okay.
I thank Linda for what you said, you know, that we aren't made to be a punching bag. And sometimes, and also what I think it was Greg or was it Gary said that about, you know, it's different things are cause like break, a death can be a different things. And the process is, of course, grief. And I think that on all the words that were said were all just sort of melded together for me. I'm still trying to, words are not my best thing. So I just wanted to say that I did hear things that I needed to hear. So I'm thankful.
Good. But, anyone else? Yeah. Not hearing from anyone else. Final comments from anyone in the room. We're going to get done early today.
I just, the thought came to me of how important community is. It's when Jesus in Gethsemane was praying and he turned and his disciples had fallen asleep. And he said, could you just stay with me for one moment?
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, it's so important that you would be with me at this time. And they didn't. So, because all those life events, they are going to happen. One two, three, maybe all of it to you as you, depending on how long you get to walk this earth.
Yeah.
But even community affected Jesus. And he showed how important it was.
Yeah. Well, and the whole Last Supper was a community event.
Yeah.
Where he took those closest to him and he shared in the midst of what was about to happen. He shared love and encouragement anyway. All right. If anyone, no one else has anything, then I'm just going to close with a prayer. Father, we thank you that you continue to show us different aspects of how to walk life. We thank you for the things that you show us, and we take comfort in the moment of knowing that in the middle of life events, you're still there, and you're going to use a negative life event to reshape some things in us. And we embrace that reshaping at this point. But we also embrace the reshaping that positive events bring, because they all do bring some level of change in our life, in our hearts. And so we just give you thanks and praise for this day. You are just awesome. We don't know every aspect of what there is to know about you, but we're eager to learn more and more about you and about us and our relationship. In our relationship with others. So I just praise you today. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for each one that's watching on YouTube on a delay or listening on a podcast. Everyone counts, Lord. Everyone is special to you. And so I just thank you for each one. Amen. And if you're watching on a delay, feel free to email us at any comments at livinggracegr@outlook.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if you've you're encouraged by this session today, share it with others. So thank you very much. We love you. Blessings to all of you.